It's that time of the year, or the week, when it's the start of the podcast.
It's as almost as if we didn't have a song play already.
No, I know, but I like to kind of come in with my own, you know, silly banter vibe type thing.
With your own, like, start one word and then end on another one.
Hey, Dave, don't eat it. Hey, speaking of this song that we got, we have a debate to debate.
Okay.
You texted me. I don't know if you remember this, Dave. Do you remember this? You texted You texted me last week, and you said, "Brain, you did this. You did the new theme song all wrong."
Yeah.
Is this ringing a bell? You need to hear more.
No, I just I mean, you did so.
No. I did not. You, until you begin to edit the show, Dave, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Well, let me edit that part of it, and I'll do it.
Just that one part. No, but wasn't it good? Like, you turn on the show, and then, starry time, let's go to space. And it's like, it sets up.
But that's not, I think, the mood that you want. The mood you want is, bow, bow, bow. Like, kind of creepy, and you're
but
like,
here's
this?
The thing: if what we do though is we just play the first part of the song, and then play the second part before we go into the interview, mm-hmm. what you're left with is confusion on the front end. Like, what is this thing? And then we just come in, and it's like as the song has no resolve.
But if after every single time that the intro song, anyways, even if we do play the full, you're gonna go, it's the starry time.
Okay, hey, don't go back to making fun of me, Dave.
I'm just saying that you always announce what it is immediately.
Fine, let's go back in time.
Okay.
Man, that theme song really told us what this show is. Welcome to it. How about that? Is that what you want me to say?
No, I want you to say what you said, and therefore my way of doing it would work.
So you're saying that just because I introduced
the name,
just because I introduced the name of the show means that we can't play a theme song with the name of our show in it?
It's not that we can't, it's that we don't need to do it, and then we're freed up to use both halves of the song.
All that I'm saying, Dave, is sometimes...
I love the first part of the song.
I'm not saying that I don't love it.
Then why would you not want to play it?
I want to play. I liked ending the whole thing with the song. It's like a happy, this is the end, theme song, credits roll, if you can imagine it.
Yeah, but I think that you need to hear both before the interview. It sets your mind at ease at what you're going to hear.
How about we let the people vote?
Partway creepy, partway...
You guys can text in right now to vote. We've gotten a few votes in. I guess we'll do it your way.
Interesting.
That's what I decided. Well, how about we do it this one? How about we do it your way this week, which we have, and then we'll see which one was the better.
Gosh. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel, Dave, sometimes I feel like you...
What if we just do it different every single week, like we started at a new place?
Sometimes, Dave, I feel like you have an idea in your mind, and you're just not willing to hear my side of it. That's how I feel.
No, I heard your side, and then I made a counterpoint.
No, but your counterpoint was the original point.
No, my counterpoint was that you introduced the show, and so why introduce the show before you introduced
it? I just think that's a dumb point.
I think, if anything, you said it at the beginning of the show. They might have forgotten by the time that we say all this silly stuff, so we need to remind them before they go.
Actually your best point.
Well, I let the points come late.
Not all your... It only took 4 minutes to get that point across, and for that I thank you.
I just want people to never... Like, it's you know when you're reading a book?
No.
Well, when you're reading a book, they have the name of the book above every single page, so that way if you ever get confused about what you're reading, you just look up and you go, well, that's what I'm reading.
This is especially good for people who read multiple books at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, oh boy, which character is doing this dirty thing?
What kind of books are you reading, man?
I was 50 Shades of Not Okay.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm just kidding with you, Brian. What I was my point is that when you're listening to this podcast, if at any point you're like, wait, I listened to so many podcasts, which one is this? Yeah. Then all of a sudden, theme song hit. And like, oh, yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, good point. Hey,
the same point. I just made it a different way.
Yeah, you just kind of drew it out longer, which is fine. I'm used to it now.
Yeah, yeah. You're used to it, like, as a friend, not even just as a like the podcast.
Yeah. But I appreciate you as a friend and also as someone who makes points.
Thanks.
Hey, Dave, one thing, I don't know if you've heard about what people can do to actually help out the podcast. They don't have to give money. They don't have to, I mean, you can if you want to email us, starttimepodcast@gmail.com. But one thing that you could do that would help us out is to go into the iTunes and send just a nice little 5-star, 4 stars even, any amount of stars besides one, and say what you hate about the show, what you love about the show, and that actually helps us become more available to people that can hate us as well. So, did you know about that, Dave?
I mean, I not only did I know about it, I have thought about rating it myself, even though I think that's vain.
Yeah, is it bad that I haven't voted? Is it bad that I haven't voted for it either?
I don't think it's necessarily bad. It's just that we spend all our time making the podcast. How can we go vote on it?
Yeah, yeah. I think we're a little bit biased towards, you know, like thinking this is the best podcast of all time.
I don't know if we're biased. I just think that we want to know. Like, I'm curious what it is.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for the reviews to come in.
It's sad. I mean, we get some emails from fans, and we've got some good fans out there, and we appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I would like to know is, what do the other ones think? And there's no way to know.
Are they even fans if they won't tell us?
I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, one-time listeners. We've got quite a few two-time listeners, but it's the other ones that I really want to know, too.
What is our highest one?
That's a great question, man. Our first show has almost – should I say how many it has?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Our first episode – it actually goes first, second, fourth, third, fifth.
Well, no, I meant, like, do we have – what is the majority of our listeners, one-timers, two-timers, three-timers?
It seems like one-timers.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I think we gained a lot from Mike Heiser.
Yeah, just that one.
They never came back. And we got a lot from our last episode. And I guess, you know, time will tell.
Tale as old as time, Bran.
But the good thing is even the one-time listeners at least got the other shows. They downloaded them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
And so they haven't listened to them yet? They just have them waiting, nestled?
It seems as if they downloaded all of them and decided to not go further.
Maybe they're waiting for a road trip because the holidays are coming up.
Yeah, or maybe they're subscribers and they just...
Bran, do you think that we're going to hit a spike during the holidays?
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing I know about the Star Time podcast is that it is perfect for long travels.
That's what I do.
Hey, Dave, do you have any holiday plans yet?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to everyone.
Okay, cool, man.
In my hometown.
Hey, we got a really great episode this week. We're interviewing Johnny Clark about resurrecting people. He is a part of Project Afterlife, which I think is already done by now. But if not, you can watch it on – what's the TV station? Destination America?
Yep, Destination America.
And then you can also check out his documentary. It's called Dead Razor. And when you Google search, like, Dead Razor documentary, you'll find his website, and you can watch the documentary for free with the promo code Project Afterlife.
Which I'm pretty sure all of this we say in the interview.
I know, but I just wanted them to hear it.
Reiterated.
Upfront. Yeah.
We should say it after, too, just to, like, really...
Yeah, so you never know. But one thing that I'm also excited about in just a second is the news.
Oh, boy. The best part of it.
I would listen to this podcast. I would download it. I would subscribe, if not for anything else other than the news.
Do you think there's anyone that listens to our podcast that fast-forwards to the news, listens, and then turns the podcast off?
I'm guilty of it. Just love the news.
Yeah. I listen to the opening song and then I skip.
I listened to only the last half of the song.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. Dave, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we had to fight on the air.
Well, I think that people seeing us repent to each other and make amends, it gives, like, it makes this one of those podcasts people can relate.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
if there's one thing
that we've gotten emails about, it's like, man, you guys seem like perfect friends. Like, do you ever fight?
Yeah.
So,
like,
I think
we should listen to the Wonder Years podcast.
Oh man, that's a great one.
I think that there's only one way that we can portray ourselves on that podcast, and that is perfect friends, because we try and be like Paul and Kevin.
But no, friends. But Kevin is the worst. We talk about this.
I know, but it's a perfect friendship because Paul doesn't ever seem to let it faze him.
And that's why I've always said, Dave, you are Kevin and I'm Paul.
No.
You're such a jerk sometimes.
I know, but not up to you always.
Yeah, not to me always, but I'm never a jerk to you. I'm a perfect
saint.
No, but
I think that together we're a jerk to other friends sometimes.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think that we're bullies, especially growing up. Like, in the neighborhood, we used to just... We used to hand it to people.
Oh, did we hand it. Speaking of handing it, let's hand it to Steve with the news.
Okay, here we go.
For Storytime News, this is Steven. Excited UFO hunters claim Stonehenge on Mars discovery. It's been too long, or at least a week, since someone spotted an anomaly on Mars. This one makes up for it with a genuinely puzzling circle of rocks that does indeed look a lot like our own man-made Stonehenge. The weirdness of the structure can't be as easily explained as a random placement of rocks and a blend of light and shadows. What could cause a near-perfect circle formation of rocks? Also in the news, a Virginia woman calls the sheriff's office claiming she saw Bigfoot and its baby. The woman says Bigfoot carried her baby like a human and that Junior Bigfoot looked like Chewbacca. She went back 2 days later and she says she also found footprints that were bigger than her size 8s put end to end. And finally in the news, is a Mississippi Blues Cafe haunted? Southern Paranormal investigates Brandy's Blues Clues Cafe after the owner and employees report unexplained bangs and footsteps and even a sighting of a bizarre figure in the kitchen area. For Storytime News, this is Steven.
Are back here on the Star Time podcast. Dave, how you feel?
I'm feeling great.
Like, never better?
I'm going to put it right in the middle, but I'm expecting that will go up in a few seconds.
I think it is, because we got a really great guest for you guys this week. Johnny Clark, he's an investigative filmmaker and visionary storyteller behind the groundbreaking 2013 documentary Dead Raiser, which we're going to talk about a little bit, which examines the ability of humans to raise other humans from the dead. And since that film's release, Johnny has continued investigative research on resurrection and what that kind of looks like all throughout the U.S. and the world. He's a part of an investigation team comprised of other people who share his passion for unlocking clues about how the supernatural phenomenon works. And his most recent project is called Project Afterlife, which airs Sundays. August 9th was when it premiered. I guess it's going to keep going, or is it a one-time thing? I guess we'll find out. It's on Destination America. Johnny, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Brandon and David. It's an honor to be with you today.
Tell us a little bit real quick about that Destination American thing. Was that a one-time thing, or is it continuing?
Sure. So Project Afterlife premieres every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Destination America, and it is, this first season is a 6-part series. So episode 4 premiered this last Sunday, and so there's two all-new episodes coming up.
Awesome. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, kind of before we get into the resurrection thing. What kind of got you into filmmaking, and were you always interested in the paranormal and the amazingness that is resurrections?
Sure. Well, I grew up with two amazing parents that were professional musicians at very young ages in major symphony orchestras, and they kind of achieved their dreams at a young age. And after that, they decided they wanted to move and start a church, which was something that they'd never done. And so that's kind of when I was young, I grew up with that and seeing them work really hard to help people and live that out. And in doing so, there were all these, you know, speakers and missionaries and people that would come through. And I started hearing from a young age a lot of stories about, you know, the supernatural. Be it someone being healed of something, but then obviously for what we're doing now, we began hearing about cases of people dying or being close to death and coming back to life. And these stories just always stuck with me, and I had never seen that before. I had just heard stories. And so as I got older, I decided I wanted to go and uncover some of these things and, you know, try to make sense of these claims. And so really that led to researching and talking to as many people as I could and trying to find out where is this happening and what is going on here.
Right. And on your on the bio for the show, it mentioned that there's like several different types of experts that are involved, everything from like scientists and then also like you said, some people that are in the church. So is that something that has led to like having several different perspectives on it? Are you guys all starting to like see kind of a trend that you all agree on, or
Well, specifically if we're talking about Project Afterlife, you know, the title of the show is kind of the meat and potatoes of what's going on. And so with this, we found in our research, some people have amazing experiences that they remember. And some don't. Some don't remember absolutely anything. But for this show, these are individuals who have died and had something very transformative take place in what they call the afterlife. And so with this show, it was really interesting because we can focus on that aspect. So there is kind of this resurrection. Somebody was dead and came back to life and they remember something. And so with Project Afterlife, we are really keying in on what these individuals remember. And we really are coming at it from as unbiased, with an unbiased opinion as we can. It's not our job to judge or try to say what they saw or didn't see. More, we're trying to figure out what do you remember, and then how can we talk to as many people as we can and see if there's something that is similar.
Right.
And really try to connect the dots that way.
Yeah. So this whole thing, Project Afterlife, kind of came out of the documentary Dead Raiser, which, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of got its funding from Kickstarter. So where did that desire come from? Were you always wanting to make a documentary about this thing that you thought was really interesting? And why did you go the crowdfunding approach to it?
Sure. I've been fascinated with crowdfunding. I thought it was a wonderful way to connect with people that you might not find.
Right.
And so we thought, hey, we could use a little help. We just funded it, my wife and I, from our savings, and we paid for it all ourselves. And we thought, hey, funds are running out rather quickly, but you know, maybe let's ask for help and and see if there's anybody out there that is interested in this. So we had a goal of $20,000, and we were blown away. We raised, you know, more than double that.
That's awesome.
And it was just amazing, you know, people from all over the world, you know, teamed up, and those people have still been very encouraging, even, you know, 2 years later, to say, hey, this is awesome. We're so glad we could support this. You know, you're doing a great job. And I would, it was something that really kind of took me by surprise. You know, like you hope that happens, then it happens.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that was really great. And yeah, so Kickstarter was an amazing thing for us.
Yeah. So kind of for our listeners who haven't seen or even heard of Dead Raisers, kind of give them the kind of the overview of what the documentary is trying to unpack and unfold and kind of how you went about doing that in your documentary.
Sure. So Dead Raiser was really, you know, step one of this whole topic of resurrection for me. And when we set out to make it, we knew nothing really about resurrection other than the stories that we heard. And so we said, we're going to make a film and we're going to bring it to the world in a way that is, you know, from our perspective. And so we wanted to find people who were thinking this way. We wanted to hear stories from people who have experienced this or witnessed this, both from people who had died and come back and people who'd been there to pray or, you know, bring this person back from the dead. And so that was it. We said, okay, let's just start. You know, we don't really know what we're doing or what we're going to find, but let's just start. And so that was Dead Raiser. And so we just went out and we interviewed as many people as we could, and we found people with stories, and we you know, we packaged them in this movie that really was kind of the groundswell for what's even turned into Project Afterlife.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so was this something – I know that you said it started off kind of as a religious thing. What interested you the most about this? Was it like the what the effects of this would have in respect? Like what was the religious reason for it, or is there some kind of like the science behind it is what fascinated you, or is it kind of like a mix of the two?
You know, it's both. And, you know, growing up with the perspective I had, you know, I can't change that. That just is what it is. But personally, you know, religion, faith has kind of been hijacked by religion. And I think they're two very different things. And I think faith is a necessary component for anyone who's going to build anything that hasn't been created yet.
Sure.
And you know, I really want to like take that back from religion. I think that, you know, sometimes religion, I'm not sure if it's done more good or more bad in the world, you know, just plain and simple. But, you know, faith and the teachings of Jesus are very pure and whole. And so I think that's wonderful. And so I always say Christianity is man's best way of trying to describe God. And, you know, maybe they have like 1%, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's great, but it's still a religion. And so if in fact Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and you have a large percentage of the population on the earth agreeing or believing some variant of that,
yeah.
Well, then that's significant, right? Like that is supernatural. That's mm-hmm. paranormal to a T. And so if that's taking place, well, then we got to look in the Bible. You know, does it talk about this anywhere else? And in fact, there's 10 other stories in the Bible of people being resurrected from the dead that were before Jesus ever came along and after he had ascended into heaven. And so you think, okay, well, if it was happening before Jesus and after Jesus and with Jesus himself, then why aren't we continuing to see this today? And what we found is people just weren't talking about it. So mm-hmm. we said, let's be the ones to start talking about yeah. it.
So, Johnny, one thing that we do here on Astari Time is we investigate these things, the paranormal, the supernatural, from a skeptic's point of view. But it gets a little tricky here because Dave and I are both Christians, so we do believe that Jesus raised from the dead. So there's kind of that playing in the back of our minds at all times. But then we start hearing these stories that you're trying to tell through the documentary of other people raising other people from the dead, kind of like you see in the book of Acts. And just kind of being, I don't know, a little bit skeptical. Like, is this still, because in America, we don't see it. So were you able to, you know, document any of the cases in America, or did you have to go outside the states to see these type of things happening?
Yeah, and, you know, I love what you guys are doing, and I think it's totally necessary to keep things on point. And, you know, as far as people being skeptical, you know, I completely understand. You know, when I first was hearing these things, I was skeptical.
Yeah.
And not all stories that we come across are as authentic or genuine as others. And you kind of take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, so with in answer to your question, Dead Razor is there is a section of that film and one more account that comes from a man of a resurrection he saw in Africa where a girl had been carried for 2 days and laid down at this village in Africa, and then there was. I followed one of the other investigators on the show, Project Afterlife, Roger Freivalt, to the Philippines because he was going and doing crazy things. And he's like, hey, Johnny, I know you're doing this thing. Would you want to come along? And I said, sure. And so I went with him to the Philippines to kind of follow him around and feature that in Dead Razor as well.
Right.
But all the other stories took place in America, and I wanted to feature that, and I thought that was important because, like you said, you know, we hear about these things happening in Africa or India or other,
yeah.
you know, mystical, mysterious lands where maybe that's happening, but no, certainly not America.
Right. I mean, I hear of people all the time in India that say the reason why I'm a Christian is because so-and-so was healed from this, and I've never come across anyone in America that that's the reason that they came to faith. So just kind of interesting that that's the way it seems to be.
Completely. Yeah. And that's, I think that's what we find a lot. You know, if we really saw a person come back from the dead, right, who mm-hmm. we 100% knew was dead, it would probably affect us like fairly intentionally. And, you know, maybe it is in other countries people see demonstrations of the supernatural, and that's, like, what motivates them to make their decision. Mm-hmm. But in America, I think it's a real mind it's a real aspect of the mind. You know, it's like I feel like fear plays a huge role in why people turn to religion a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be good, and that can be... Yeah, you know, it can be constructive and destructive at the same time. So I'm personally, I like to run from fear because we can't get anything done. Like, we can't continue developing mankind if we're just running around scared of everything all
sure.
the time.
Yeah.
And another thing is that when your faith is based on something that you simply don't understand, then that's a very fragile foundation. For instance, like the... it's like the God of the Gaps thing, that is where when science didn't explain something, they said it was God, and then as soon as you figured out the science behind it, then you kind of had to keep pushing the line. So you couldn't just base your faith on that. There has to be something else. And one of the arguments that I've heard about specifically healings and stuff like that that comes up a lot, and as far as is there still miracles today, is it's that it's weird that all the miracles that are happening. In a field of science that we know almost the least about. Like,
yeah.
It's not like a, you know, like in the Bible, they would have days that were like, you know, all of a sudden longer than a normal day, the sun stays up. Like, if that happened today, everyone would know it and it would freak all scientists out. Something like that. I mean, the world spinning at 800 miles an hour stops all of a sudden or something, you know what I mean? And so,
totally.
It's so, what I was going to, that led me to the question is I know it's kind of a weird question, but what determines whether somebody is dead? Is it like no more brain activity, no, the heart stops beating? I know that there's several different ways that someone
yeah.
can die, but what do you guys use as a kind of like a standard reference point for where that they're gone. Like, they definitely were dead, and then they came back.
Yeah, and David, that's a great question, and we've run into this several times. You know, the medical definition of death is no breathing, no heart beating, and no brain activity. So when those three things happen at the same time, a person is dead, clinically, medically dead. Right. And so, but then we run into this aspect of resuscitation, right? Where sometimes we can manually, you know, push on the chest and continue blood circulation, you know, circulating in a, you know, mild way that at least keeps, you know, the heart pushing blood. We can connect people to life support machines. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of gray area that we found. And then obviously with some of the skeptics, not just skeptics, but anybody, it's like, well, they weren't dead long enough to be considered dead. And we're like, well, that's hard to, you know, it's hard to define then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after like 4 minutes of your brain without oxygen, like if somebody comes back and their heart starts beating, they could have permanent brain damage, right? So we don't, you know, that's not cool. If someone's going to really come back from the dead, you know, we want to, like, see this person. I mean, personally, I want to see this person restored, you know, back to 100%, not sure. Just in a terrible physical state.
Yeah.
So, you know, we look at that. You know, we've heard cases of people being dead 5 minutes, and we've found cases of people being dead, you know, up to 7 days,
wow.
Claims of that. And so I don't have like a wonderful answer other than like it kind of varies.
Right, right. I was just curious what you guys in your – specifically for this documentary, how you were kind of categorizing them or what your criteria was to consider a case worth exploring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's – you know, and one of the great things we learned from Chauncey Crandall, he's a world-renowned cardiologist, and he's featured on Dead Razor, which you can watch at deadrazor.com. And you can actually watch it for free if you use the code Project Afterlife. So I'd encourage people to do that. But he's, you know, he's a world-renowned cardiologist. He spent his life studying medicine and science, and his story of seeing a patient come back from the dead is fascinating, because here's a man who has been trained in medicine. He completely, you know, understands how the body and more specifically the heart works. And here was a case where a man had a heart attack and was dead 45 minutes. They called the time of death. The man, you know, the cyanosis was already setting in to his body. That's where the blood, you know, pools because it's not circulating. And as he left the ER room, he heard this voice say, "Turn around and pray for that man." And then, you know, this is a doctor, and he kind of had to stop in his tracks, and he said, "What is this? What am I hearing?" And he said, "Okay, well, it must, I don't know what that was, I'm just going to ignore it." And so he kind of went on, and then a little bit later, he heard it again. "Turn around and pray for that man." "How do I pray for someone who's dead? This is, you know, preposterous, like he's dead." And as he went back in, he just decided, you know what? This is really strange. If this is God, I'm going to go pray for that man, even though I have no idea what to do. So he went in and he said he placed his hand on the man's chest. I mean, they were preparing his body for the morgue. Okay. The nurse was in there and he laid his body on, and he said the words just kind of came out of his mouth. He said, "If this man doesn't know you, I pray that you would bring him back from the dead." And the nurse was looking at him, and he was kind of confused as to what he was saying.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they just got the sense, we need to shock him again. Now, keep in mind, they've already called the time of death. You know, he's been clinically dead 45 minutes. So the ER doctor comes back in, kind of sees this prayer scene happening. He's like, "What is going on in here?" And Dr. Crandall said, "Let's shock this man one more time." They kind of debated, well, this isn't protocol. We're off, you know, we're outside of like our training at this point. And so they agreed, okay. They shocked him, and Jeff Markin came back.
Wow.
And he had had this afterlife experience that was kind of morbid and dark and sad in a way. But, they both had a very interesting perspective to share. And that was featured on Dead Razor and also in the very first episode of Project Afterlife. Okay. So I would definitely, have encouraged people to check that out.
Yeah. So his experience in the moments that he was actually dead were very dark. And then you also have, these books, and you could take them or leave them, but like Heaven is for Real and stuff like that, where apparently someone dies and they see heaven, and then for whatever reason they come back. I have a harder time with that one because I don't understand why someone would go and be in the presence of God and then come back. Like, that doesn't make much sense to me. But have you come across any experiences of people who have died and gone to heaven, seen God, and then come back? And why do you think that is?
Yes, and I'm with you, David. It's was that Brandon?
That was Brandon, but it's fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and like going into it, we kind of have these preconceived, why would this happen or why doesn't that happen? And we've really kind of had to like tame that back because mm-hmm. these people have experienced something, and we really want to find out what it was, and get to know them as quickly as possible. But yeah, we've found instances where people had a choice to come back. And then we've found other instances where, family members, they run into deceased family members and they say, we're not letting you, come. This isn't your time yet. And these people are practically begging, like, I want to stay, it's maybe the first time in my life I haven't felt pain or anger or bitterness, and like they feel so warm and amazing, and they're like, no, like we're sending you back. So I wish it was like a clear cut, this is the way it happens.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's varied greatly in what people have shared with us.
Yeah, I want to. You've probably experienced both, someone who's experienced heaven and someone who's experienced hell. So, can you give us a little bit of a picture of both of those, according to what somebody has seen and witnessed after death?
Sure. So, in one of the episodes of Project Afterlife, Roger goes and investigates the case of Arthur Veal, and the case with Arthur Veal was he was into some bad stuff, and when he got to where he was going, he started describing what Roger called Sheol to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the land where kind of the living and the dead meet, and the righteous are on one side and the wicked on the other. And Arthur wasn't really familiar with Sheol, but he was explaining it with his own vocabulary to Roger, right? And he was feeling like he was going on the side of the wicked, right? And he couldn't really stop kind of what was happening. And like there were all these people were waiting. It was a sea of people. So like that's, that's one instance where we could kind of see, hey, this land of Sheol has been, vaguely described, in the Bible. And it was really interesting to hear somebody almost painting in their own words, a picture of that. So that was one. And then with this case that was on this last Sunday, I went to investigate Cyan Martin, who she was in heaven, or what she can describe as, heaven. And she said it was the first time that she'd ever felt good. She went into this heart procedure that she was, had a very low percentage of survival. And so she was really like ready to pass. Hmm. And she was okay with that. Like she'd kind of said her goodbyes. And that's when she ran into her grandmothers that really like encouraged her and gave her a new zeal for life. And to me, both instances of Arthur Veal, you know, experiencing Sheol and Cyan experiencing heaven, there was something that clicked, right? Where when they came back, they had a new appreciation for life. And these are the cases that I like. I like finding out, you know, when something like this happens, I want to find the significance, right? I want to find something that when they come back, there's a new reason to live or a new reason to appreciate life. And I think in all of these cases, the best thing that we're finding is that through death, people can better appreciate life. And as strange as that sounds, I think there's something significant there.
That is an amazing point. I think that anybody that experiences that, it just kind of gives them a perspective. I think it is one of the craziest things that humans are so fragile that, I mean, you can be driving. I think about this sometimes. It's kind of a morbid thought maybe, but when I'm driving down the road and I see other cars coming, you know, at 70 miles an hour in the opposite direction, I just think all it would take is just the turn of a wheel on either of our parts and we're both toast. And we live like on that, like just the verge of death at all times. And yet you just kind of like, I don't know, I guess it would be impossible to live if you were that afraid all the time. But I think it's so interesting that humans are able to just think of themselves as indestructible, especially when you're younger, just to be able to go through life and not have any fear of death, yet we're so close to it all the time.
Totally. And, you know, be it Steve Jobs or or whoever, I just got finished reading his biography and, you know, he lived that way. And I think people who make a difference have a very real perspective of life. And they know that it's valuable and time is valuable and they make the most of it. And, you know, I certainly want to make the most of the time I have. And I'm lucky to get to do that.
Yeah. Would you say, okay, so from what you've said, you are obviously, these cases have convinced you that the resurrection is a real thing and it does happen. Is there a specific time? I mean, first, I guess you can, if that's not true, you can say not so. But what is the time that you would say that the transition happened? Because you said you started off kind of a skeptic in the same way that me and Bran are maybe now. And then you started embarking on this journey. Was there any specific occurrence that really like convinced you that there might be something to it?
Yeah, I think I had to get over the fear of you know, what if I'm wrong? You know, what if Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead and the Bible isn't true and all these people are lying to me? And I just had to kind of say, you know what, I guess that is a possible scenario, but who cares? Like, I'm going to go and look into this as much as I can until I'm kind of satisfied with what I found. And
that's great.
You know, and it takes something, though, because I never thought I would be the poster child for, you know, modern day resurrection. that wasn't like, oh, this is what I want to do. It was just kind of, I was fascinated by the stories I heard, and I wanted to share those stories with other people because I thought they were fascinating. So whether people believe or don't, it's okay. I don't expect everybody to believe me, you know, like go find out more answers for yourself, you know, and whatever you learn, please share it with me because, I could be really onto something or I could be really off, but either way, there has to be a deeper meaning. And for me, with this topic of resurrection, obviously the physical resurrection of a human body, like that's the draw. Right? Like that's the, ooh, this is fascinating. It's crazy. But, you know, I believe we're all beings made up of a mind and a spirit and a physical body. And all of those functions need to be resurrected, right? Like you might have a perfect body and a perfect mind, but your spirit's dead, mm-hmm. right? And so what do you need to do to get that, that member active and living? Or maybe it's for the mind. I think a lot of people in the church, you know, healthy body, healthy spirit, but they haven't seen their mind like truly come to life. And so, like, whatever it is in people, and you know, call that a dream or an ambition or something that they feel passionate about. Like, everybody's got that thing that maybe they've let die. And if people can see that come back to life, like, that'll change the world. It won't just change them, but it'll affect somebody who sees them, and that will affect somebody else who sees them. And so for me, like, the bigger picture is like a resurrection of dreams, a resurrection of like true living.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that what is awesome is that you capturing that and documenting these cases amplifies the what you believe that these things are, like the opportunity to have a better appreciation for life. To see that all at one time, multiple cases, it starts, the theme overtakes and becomes a bigger than any one story. It becomes like a whole entire, you know, like I said, an amplified effect of what the purpose, I guess, would be of the resurrections, whether it is physical or spiritual or in the mind.
Totally.
I want to get into this just to kind of, because I walk in a circle of Christians from every denomination, and there's a group of Christians who would claim that the gifts have ceased, that you can no longer heal people, that you can no longer speak in tongues, all that good stuff. I would assume that the, you know, resurrections of people kind of goes into that healing, and one of those gifts is someone goes and he prays for somebody and that happens. So what would you say, after seeing all of these resurrections happen and investigating them and hearing people's stories, what would you say to the believers of Jesus resurrecting, but now believe that the gifts have ceased? What would you say to them to kind of say, I think you might be missing something here?
That's a good, you know, it's a good question, because a lot of like the Christians aren't sure kind of what to do with me and with these kinds of things. And I get it, you know, they're very committed to their way of thinking, and you know, they've paid money, they've paid with time, they've paid with everything, like, to have the perspective that they have. And I can't argue with that, you know, like I can't convince you that I'm right or you're right or whatever. And so I honestly try not to, you know, like we're on, you know, like this, with this show, Project Afterlife, you have to understand, like, this might be the first faith-oriented paranormal show on television ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Christian media has not ever had, like, a paranormal creepy show. Okay. So, like, we're reaching a whole audience that has never heard this stuff. And Destination America isn't a faith network. You know, like, we're sandwiched in between, you know, my child sees ghosts and the exorcism of this and the haunting of that. And, you know, like, it's not the 700 Club. Right. Like, we are doing something brand new. And, you know, even Destination America, I give them huge applause for being willing to kind of take this risk. And the world is watching, you know, the world is watching. And what we're finding is that people from all walks of life are seeing this, and they're saying, wow, like, I remember my grandma saying something, or I remember of something that happened to a friend or a relative, or even to themselves. They're like, wow, like, I saw what they saw, or I remember something similar. And to me, like, once you plant those seeds, like, you can't unplant them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if people are watching who don't believe, and of course, on the network, you know, the people who are not faith-oriented are like, oh, this is, you know, too much religion. And then the people who are religious are like, oh, this isn't religious enough. And so, like, we can't ever please everybody, you know. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, getting back to your question, I would just say, you know, just watch it with an open mind. if you don't believe any of it, don't sweat it. Like, it's okay.
Sure.
Like, you don't you don't have to. Like, you're not going to, you know, go to hell because you are asking a question or you're watching something that was very real to someone else. And that's where I, you know, in religion, it boxes people up so tight that they're very fearful. And I had to go through that whole thing in my life of, like, I'm really going to go talk about people who've died and come back to life, and how can I validate these claims, and how can I do all this? And I really had to get over that myself. And honestly, I felt like, whoa, if I'm wrong, like, is God going to be upset with me? Or, you know, is something terrible going to happen? And what I found was, you know, none of that stuff happened. And honestly, it brought about a multitude of opportunities I could have never foreseen.
Well, I love how earlier you said that you decided to take the risk about checking it out and knowing that this could potentially dismount the faith that you had in the resurrection of Jesus. And that was one of your biggest fears, is like, am I allowed? Can I do this? And that is such an important thing for faith, separating it from religion, as you also were talking about earlier, just being able to trust it enough. Like, if it's worth believing in, then it'll stand that test. And that's what really is going to prove that you believe it, versus just kind of being stuck, like you're saying, the Christians that just have that way of thinking and they're stuck to it. And I think it's good that the documentaries in between the people that believe and don't believe, because either way, anybody watching it is going to have their view quite put into question. So they at least will start asking, and those seeds will be planted on either side. That's just valuable, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, really, if all I do in my life is get people to think about something, that plants a seed. And, you know, what if, let's say, you know, Brandon, you're out crossing the road after the interview, and you see a man have a heart attack, like kitty corner to where you're standing. Like, if you've never heard or had the idea that, you know, maybe I could walk over there and command this person back to life, or I could just go over there because I'm going to take a second out of my day to have empathy and compassion for someone. Like, that is what we see sparks the miraculous, right?
Yeah.
It isn't like you're going out looking to raise the dead and chasing ambulances. It's like you're standing there and all of a sudden something happens. And now, depending on what's in your mind and what seeds have been planted, you might take action or not. And if you're standing there, what do you have to lose if someone's dead and you say, you know, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come back to life? And they do. Like, is that, I don't think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And specifically, if you feel like you should do that, and you might not feel like you should do that. And we've had, you know, heard cases where people just felt like they had to do something and they did. But to me, even with the cases of Jesus and in the Bible, you know, there was always this element of compassion. You know, take the centurion. He comes to Jesus like, I need your help. Well, Jesus didn't say, oh, too bad. You know, he said, okay. Like, that was the activation that led to his daughter coming back from the dead, right? Mm-hmm. Someone needed help, and someone stopped what they were doing to help them. And I think, like, that, as simple as it is, could be a key to not only resurrection, but just seeing amazing things take place.
Sure. I have one question, just because I know we have an interesting audience that might be listening to this and thinking, this kind of sounds like this might be sort of an explanation for ghosts, like people die and they come back, but does it play hand in hand with ghosts, and kind of, do you believe in ghosts? How does that work into your belief system based off these resurrections?
Like, as far as ghosts go, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I honestly don't have any idea of how I would answer that.
Yeah, I mean, because some people could listen to that and say, well, so they die, and some people come back to life, and some people come back as ghosts, and maybe there's different kinds of resurrections or something like that. That's what somebody could listen to this and think.
Yeah, and I would say start documenting that. Like, go find out. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, we want to just give you a second to talk a little bit more about Project Afterlife and what people can expect, how much longer is in the season, and what time they can catch you and all that good stuff.
Sure. So Project Afterlife is a new series on Destination America that airs Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And it's an hour-long show where we, four investigators, are going out to uncover and investigate these stories of resurrection, and more specifically, what happened during the afterlife experience. And that's an amazing show. There's always interesting facts that are coming out and things that people are sharing with us that we haven't heard. And really, we're trying to connect the dots of what have people seen or experienced in the afterlife that might be similar or different, that we can begin trying to put these things together.
Sure.
And Dead Raiser is the documentary that preceded that and that came out in October of 2013. I would encourage people to check that out at deadraiser.com. And let us know what you think. Find us on Twitter. Ask us questions, things you liked, things you didn't like. You won't hurt our feelings if you hated it. But more specifically, like maybe people have a question about something on the episode or something in the film, great. Like, write and ask us about that, because kind of the more input we can get, the better job we can do when we're looking into these cases.
Sure. Awesome. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us on the Star Time. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you so much, Brandon and David. Absolutely. You guys are great.
And that was Johnny Clark here on the Star Time podcast. Dave, earlier today, Dave, earlier today, you were telling me how much you loved that interview, and now I see why.
Yeah, because it's great.
Yeah, man, Johnny Clark is such a cool guy. Really thankful for him to join us. Dave, you made a lot of great points in that interview. You were on that night.
You think I was?
No.
Okay. See, that's what I was thinking, is that this time around, I was my worst interviewing yet, but that there is no reason that it wasn't great still.
Yeah.
because this part good too. No, because they were so interesting and had such great things to give us that even though I didn't interview well, we still got a good bit out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But here's my thing. Whenever you have a bad day, it's always better than my good days.
No, because you pretty much are. I would say that you're the leader.
No.
Yeah.
You think so?
If you listened to last week, you pretty much ran the show.
Well.
To a fault, almost.
Hey, we're not going to talk about that.
No, I think that one turned out great. That's probably like one of our best ones.
But, listen, do you want to act like you're in charge, Dave?
I mean, I don't have the knobs. I don't have the controls, Brian. I think that whenever we finally get to do one where we're together, you just set aside in passenger seat, and I'll take the lead.
Hey, thanks so much for saying knobs as if like I have like a big system going on right now.
Brian, the illusion is what keeps the fans.
Yeah, no, man, I got it. Trust me, I get it. Like if I wasn't here, the knobs wouldn't turn themselves.
Yeah, or the faders.
Yeah, or the preamps.
Or the cables plugging
or,
in.
Or the compression.
Or turning the computer on.
Yeah, none of that
microphone
would happen.
But
let's imagine that you are in charge. And okay. So, like, let's just
What
practice.
Would you call me? How would you address me?
Captain, Dave?
Aye, aye.
All right, so let's act as if we're coming back from that interview. And mm-hmm. you take the lead. And just right. see how
and,
it,
and,
let's just
and
see
just
how
so
it
know.
Goes.
One of the reasons also is because I don't know when to start like talking because you record, and so that's why you are always the first one to talk.
Okay, that's true. So just know I am recording. You can come in whenever you want to.
Okay.
All right, good.
And we're back. What a great interview. Bran, thoughts, emotions. Do you have any pictures that you could show us?
I don't have any pictures, but man, that interview was so good. I'm so happy that you got that for us, Dave.
Yeah, I work hard as the leader of this team to get us all kinds of interviews.
You sure do, Captain.
And also to arrange the schedules and to click the record button. That is what I do.
And don't forget all the knobs you turn.
And the and it's not about the knobs. When I turn the knob, I'm not thinking, oh boy, to the left, to the right. I'm thinking, I really hope Billy gets to hear this. I really hope that our fan Jill gets this. Yeah. I hope that when I turn this, the volume is great for Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Have I made my point clear?
You've made it so clear, and that's why you're the captain, because you make points clear.
You know what would make my dream come true, Bram?
What's that?
Those three names that I said were listeners that felt like I was talking to them just then.
That'd be beautiful, man. That's a beautiful thought.
That's like the way Santa, like every kid feels special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you just like they're the only kid in the entire Christmas.
You are the Santa Claus of podcasts.
They sure do call me that.
Good. Hey, Dave, what do we got going on next week for next week's show?
At this point, I don't know because it's up in the air, isn't it?
It is up in the air, but we'll figure it out. And
we may have a surprise. There's no telling with us.
You're so right. I love surprises. That'd be my favorite.
When you're dealing with Saint Nicholas of the podcast,
yep.
Who knows what'll be under your podcast tree?
So true. Hey, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we've transitioned. Big thanks to John Clark.
It was so smooth until you said it.
Oh, man. I'm always doing that. I'm always like
pointing
I'm always
out
doing
that we did
things
good.
Really well, and then I acknowledge my perfection and
right.
ruins it.
But at least you acknowledge it.
Yeah. Hey, big thanks to Johnny Clark for joining us. What a guy. And also big thanks to Steve for doing the news.
Mm-hmm. Every week.
Big thanks to the guy who did our song. Who's that?
Nathan Taylor.
Yeah, Nathan Taylor. Big thanks to Nathan Taylor.
He's going to be on the podcast sometime.
Maybe next week.
Yeah. What if we had an episode and text us if you think this is a good idea, especially Mike and Jill. If you think this is a good idea. If we got the guy that did our news most times, the guy that did our news just one time, and the guy that did our song, and we just kind of ask them how they did it.
Yeah, kind of like a behind-the-scenes show.
Yeah, and then we could ask ourselves, like, Brian, what knobs do you turn?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All of them. Every episode.
And then you could ask me, like, Dave, how do you contribute to what I'm already doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you find a way to be on this podcast?
Yeah. So, Reginald and Ruthie, just let us know if you think it's a good idea.
And Esmeralda, change your name.
Yeah. starrytimepodcast@gmail.com. I think that's it, Dave.
Yeah, text us at starrytime.
That's not a thing.
1-800-STARRYTIME. Okay.
Nope. Standard text messaging applies.
Text us at 1-800 number.
Hey, from the Greenville, South Carolina.
In that Brooklyn, New York.
This was
Starrytime podcast.
Nailed
with
Bran.
From Brooklyn and Green. Oh, we already said that.
We already did that. Dang it. That's why you're not in charge.
Well, I thought we were doing the rainbow where like it starts where we are, it goes up to explain it, and then it comes back down right where we aren't.
We've never done that. Why would you assume that?
Because I thought I was the captain this time.
Oh, man. I'm so confused. All right. You want to try it again?
Let's do it as quick as we can, but smooth.
From Greenville, South Carolina.
And from New York. This is David.
And Brandon.
Starrytime Podcast.
From Greenville, South Carolina.
And from New York City.
Nailed it.